This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Imagine yourself being an aspiring professional violinist and landing a dream gig with a well-known composer's traveling orchestra all before you finish college. It happened for a local university professor, but all was not as it seemed. It was later learned that the orchestra was a fraud, relying on popular recorded music during performances. Now the story is part of a new book, Sounds Like Titanic. I speak with the author about the fake tunes experience coming up. But first, Major League Soccer is now here in Cincinnati. What's driven the sport's popularity here? And for the youth of our region, what's the best path forward to kick your way into the action? We're joined now in the studio by Jared Hondra. He's the president of the FC Cincinnati Supporters Group, Dienenstadt. Welcome, Jared.
Hey, thanks for having me.
DJ Schweitzer, the owner and editor of Wrong Side of the Pond. Welcome, DJ.
Thanks for having me.
And Gary Hancock, the juniors coordinator at the Cincinnati United Soccer Club. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you.
If you want to join in the conversation about the rising popularity of soccer in Cincinnati, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some in the show. So first, I want to know about all of your respective organizations. We'll start with Jared. What does Dienenstadt translate to? What is it?
Yeah, so Dienenstadt translates to the inner city from German. So that's where we drew a lot of our inspiration for our group. So we kind of saw the revitalization of the downtown area and, you know, the area we're kind of in right now, right? And decided to try to take that energy and support the team. So that's where the name comes
from. So how do you support the team with it?
So we've got our main focus really is to bring the game day atmosphere. So we help with bringing a lot of the flags, the drums, the banners you see, the big TIFOs, which are the big displays across the whole section. We work with other SGs in Cincinnati to create those things and create that environment. So,
what's an SG?
Supporters group. Sorry.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. All right, DJ, the Wrong Side of the Pond. What is that a reference to?
So it's just basically a play on words. Back when I first started the website, it actually was something that was a bit of a rarity to have any sort of following of soccer in Cincinnati, and so I kind of felt like I was on the wrong side of the pond, being so obsessed with soccer. So I launched it kind of along those lines. As a hobby, and it's taken me a couple places.
Awesome. And Gary, what is the Cincinnati United Soccer Club?
It's the biggest soccer club here in Cincinnati that serves kids age 3 through 18. And we've got a whole host of players, both on the boys and girls side, that have gone on to college in the last couple of years. And we've got some players that are playing in the youth national team. So it's an exciting time to be involved in soccer in Cincinnati. That's for sure.
See, you sound like you're on the wrong side of the pond. So I wasn't sure who was doing which site here. So I want to start with the popularity of FC Cincinnati. Major League Soccer officials continue to gush over the fandom here. Some have credited that enthusiasm, at least in part, with the team's jump to the MLS. So I'll just open this up to all of you. How was Cincinnati poised to take this on? Jared?
That's a great question. You know, it kind of felt like a perfect storm. You know, when we started in the USL, you know, a few years ago, I think everyone had some sort of thirst for it. And there's been teams that have come and gone, right? But for some reason, I think people decided like, okay, let's make this one stick, right? Let's go all out and bring everything we can for it. And I think that definitely jump-started our success from, you know, both on the field and I think, you know, in the stands as well.
And DJ, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, so Jared definitely hit on it correctly. But the other thing to consider too is prior to FC Cincinnati's arrival, Cincinnati was kind of a minnow when it came to the American soccer scene. And while we had a really good youth following, Cincinnati United has been a great club since I was a player 20 plus years ago. There really wasn't much of a following for the professional game around here, and we've slowly built up a culture. And when FC Cincinnati were first launched, the talk of 10,000 fans per game kind of got a laugh out of a lot of us who were involved in the soccer community here.
And Gary, I imagine that developing players early has to play a role in the soccer culture and the community.
Absolutely. And I think they go hand in hand. You know, the buzz around the professional organization in the city just spurns young players that are inspired by it to get involved. And likewise, once that kind of collaboration happens with parents going to the games and everyone getting involved in soccer and seeing what it can bring to the family and what it's brought to the city, it's just been fantastic.
I want to talk a little more about the fans. So for another publication, I was first to report that FC Cincinnati was scouting locations in Northern Kentucky for its new stadium, and that article blew up. And that was my first taste of FC Cincinnati fans, and it was intense. So I remember one commenter told me that I don't understand FC Cincinnati fans. And he was right. There's a level of commitment and passion here that I haven't seen before. So describe that relationship between the team and its fans, and then tell me how that compares to other sports here in town.
Man. Jared and
you
I have,
go for that one?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of experience working yeah. with one another. So in addition to Wrong Side of the Pond, I also write for ProSoccerUSA.com and cover the team. I actually used to work for FC Cincinnati, was the first communications director for the team, and then also worked with Diane Stott and the other supporters groups directly to manage the relationship with them on the club's end of things. So there was a lot of back and forth, but we kind of let the fans be the guide. And that was something that I really preached from the beginning when I came to the club was, look, if this is going to take off, it's going to be up to them. And Diane Stott, along with the Pride and a number of the other groups, really stepped up and brought Cincinnati onto the map.
And Jared, I mean, when I see clips from fans leading up to the game, there's like smoke involved, there's flags, there's drums. Where does all that come from?
That all comes from our membership. So, you know, we basically sell a membership. It's around $20, and that gets you a scarf that has our name on it. And every year we do a little bit of a different design. But that money goes nowhere else but back into the supporters groups and into the fans. So that's what pays for the TIFOs and the smoke you see and the flags you see, the drums. So without people, you know, kind of joining and helping us in that effort, we wouldn't have what we have here. But that's just how it is. It's kind of crazy, but
it is kind of crazy. 513-419-7100. If you'd like to weigh in, email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So a Gallup poll released last year showed that 7% of Americans identified soccer as their favorite sport to watch. That's 2 percentage points behind baseball and 4 points behind basketball. For the first time in 5 years, it pulled ahead of hockey. So what's driving this interest nationally, do you think?
I would say, you know, big props go to the success of the women's national team. You know, we can still feel the heartache from the men's national team not making the World Cup. But then it's become a generational culture change. You look a couple of generations back, soccer was not a big sport, particularly in the rural areas, where now it's becoming more and more widespread. And as more and more of that generation grow up and have their own kids, and they become involved in the sport and it grows. And of course, the expansion of the MLS has just been phenomenal when you look at it over such a short space of time. You know, and these supporters groups that we see here locally, it makes it an atmosphere that you want to be a part of.
Football is still America's favorite sport. It's well ahead of the others in that Gallup poll. But there are concerns about that sport. It's violence, it's injuries. Even President Trump says he wouldn't let his youngest son play over a fear of a possible injury. Is that playing a role at all in people turning to soccer?
So I think one of the big avenues on that front is that football is actually a really expensive sport to follow. If you actually want to show up and go to games, you're going to spend a lot of money on tickets. You're going to spend a lot of money on parking. You're going to spend a lot of money on concessions. It's an expensive experience if you want to take just yourself, let alone a family. And what soccer has provided the American fan over the last few years, sports fan in general, is that they now have a cheaper alternative to look at. And MLS has really filled that niche very well, where they've provided a more affordable outlet for families to actually go out and enjoy a match. And part of it, too, is it's over and done within 2 hours. And that's something that football drags on and on. And it's not to say there aren't enjoyable moments throughout it, but you have to go through a lot to actually sit through it. And soccer provides a little bit more on that angle.
So there's some economics and some time management at play here. Any other perspective on the role that football might play in this?
I would almost argue, too, that it's cheaper to play, right? I mean, if you think about it, you just need a ball and some shoes. Where I grew up, which is out in the rural area of Brown County, Ohio, we didn't have a football team. We had a soccer team, and that was the big thing there in the fall because we didn't need, you know, all the equipment that, you know, the school had to pay for. So I think that definitely plays a factor as well.
The World Cup is coming to the U.S. in Dallas in 2026. USA Today reported last summer that the sport could by then be more popular than baseball. Do you think that's going to happen? Okay, we're moving on. I mean, you're in the youth sports industry, Gary. I mean, is that something that you think is possible?
I think it's definitely possible. Just, again, from my experience, having been here the last 10 years and just seeing how much it's grown, both in the country as a whole and then specific pockets and demographics, which are where the World Cup is going to be targeted. You know, the Dallases, Cincinnati has been thrown out there as a potential host. Mm-hmm. Those areas, it's really exploded and taken over across some demographics. And it will eat into whether it be baseball or, as you had mentioned, hockey and things before. There's nothing to say, especially if we continue on this path of popularity and hopefully get the national team back on track so that there's a little bit more than just damp hope going into the World Cup 2026. That would be awesome.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our conversation about the growing popularity of soccer as the Major League arrives in Cincinnati. We're joined in the studio by Jared Hondra. He's the president of the FC Cincinnati Supporters Group, Die Innenstadt. DJ Schweitzer, the owner and editor of Wrong Side of the Pond, and Gary Hancock, the juniors coordinator at the Cincinnati United Soccer Club. Join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We've got an email from Janelle. She says that her granddaughter is in a soccer league. It's been an amazing journey for her, but she's not seen where a woman can make it into a career. She says, I don't want to discourage her. What can I tell her about her ability to grow within the arena? Now, we're all just a bunch of guys sitting around talking, but is there some space for women to grow in this field?
I think especially in this city, I mean, you can't have a better role model than Rosie Lavelle. I mean, she's a local girl who came through Cincinnati United Soccer Club and is now playing at the top level you could possibly imagine, which is the women's national team. She played against England the other night, and we hope to see her out on the field again tonight.
And the team has some female fans. I mean, this is a sport that's popular with ladies as well, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of our membership is a lot of ladies. So I would just say keep going. And I think there's potential that we will eventually get a NWSL team here as well, which is professional women's soccer, which would be amazing. And just, you know, for kids growing up to have both, you know, a women's team and a men's team to kind of look forward to and look up to, I think that would definitely help grow and help kind of motivate people.
So I also add, too, when it comes to jobs in the game for women, I have a younger sister who's a coach for her living, and she's traveled around the world with that job, as well as front office jobs. One of the first front office members at FC Cincinnati was Sarah Huber, who was the CFO for the first 3 years the club was around. So there are a lot of avenues for women to get involved in the game today.
All right, let's go to the phones. Darren is on the line. What's your question or comment, Darren?
Yeah, so actually I used to be a supporter of the Fort Lauderdale Strikers until they went several years ago. And my wife and I just moved to Cincinnati, and one of the attractions of the city was actually having a professional soccer team here. So we just got our season tickets in last week, and we're excited to participate in it. But the reason why FC Cincinnati for us is so special is because of the ownership group and how much of a commitment the Linder family has made, not just to the community, but to the team itself. And I'm actually, I played American football all my life, and I used to think, well, soccer is kind of a wussy sport. But I've gotten wholeheartedly into it, and actually I hope my daughter actually plays soccer one day too. And so it's just amazing to see what the supporters groups and the ownership group here in Cincinnati has done with the team and to grow in the sport. So thanks.
Cool, Darren. Thanks for the call. I mean, let's speak to that. He's complimenting the ownership. That's played a pretty significant role in this, right?
Yeah. So when we first heard the rumors about FC Cincinnati, a lot of us kind of questioned whether it was going to be the same path that a lot of the other teams that have been here before followed. A little bit of hype and then would whimper out pretty quickly. And the one thing that really changed things, I think, was the involvement of the lenders. It really made everyone in the room sit up for the first time and go, whoa, this is actually a pretty serious contender in town throwing their weight behind it. And I don't know that some of the connections that the team's been able to make in the city would happen without an ownership group as strong as FC Cincinnati has.
Gary, in that same USA Today article that I was referencing before we took our first break, which was about whether soccer would become more popular than baseball in the country, the author of the article noted that soccer was once derided as too boring for the American sports palate, and that kids who were playing youth soccer would grow up and move on as they become adults. But that hasn't materialized. The sport is still popular. What role is youth soccer organizations playing in maintaining that enthusiasm for the game?
Well, I think it comes from, you know, this concept of the highlight reel. You know, when you're exposed to baseball and football, you're looking for those touchdowns, which are more frequent than goals in soccer, and a big hit. Where the youth kind of education comes through and the enjoyment of the sport is realizing that not every single play is going to result in a goal, but you can still enjoy that play just for the phenomenal soccer, whether it's positive possession, a nice touch, or, you know, just basking in someone as skillful, watching a Cristiano Ronaldo or a Lionel Messi, two of the best players in the world, just grace the field and how they approach the game with the kind of speed and athleticism that they have. You can just enjoy having them on the ball rather than, well, that wasn't a goal.
The New York Times reported last summer that youth soccer participation has dropped, though. The article said youth players are abandoning the game in, quote, alarming numbers. And that coincides with a decrease in youth sports in general across the country. But what are you seeing in your league?
With Cincinnati United, we've not seen alarming drop-offs, that's for sure. The club continues to grow. I think that, again, is part and parcel to you know, the quality of coach that we have in our staff. You know, we provide a fantastic environment for the kids to come and learn and grow. You know, and of course, when the kids start to get older, you know, there are more avenues and there's a lot more options out there. You know, if you drum down on, is soccer participation landscape changing? Possibly, especially around here, one of the sports that's become very popular is lacrosse. But these are two sports that can definitely coincide the same way we have with baseball and football. So it's certainly, you know, we want to keep the participation high. We want to keep the kids involved. And I think having a professional club in town is definitely going to help that.
Yeah, Jared and DJ, I mean, now this is a major soccer market, Cincinnati is. So what impact do you think that would have on, and you both played, I guess, growing up. So what impact does that have for the kids coming of age now?
I think, like I said before, I think just having a team to look at and, you know, and coming from my perspective as well, from sitting in the Bailey and supporters groups, we do get a lot of kids that come in with their parents and they, you know, they're in the games, they're waving flags, they're singing and doing all the stuff that anyone else is doing. And then I think for a lot of those kids to have something to look down on the field and say, like, that could be me in, you know, a few years, I think that should drive and motivate a lot of people.
What about recreational leagues for soccer? Do they face a challenge from those higher level competitors? What does the landscape for that look like here in Cincinnati?
There's always going to be the recreational leagues for all levels. Personally, I still play, not particularly well, but I'm out there. you know, and that's true for, you know, the youngest kid right through to, you know, the over 40s leagues in the city. I think there's always going to be a place for them because people, you know, want to play and still enjoy the game. And not everyone is going to have the aspirations to become, you know, a college star or a national player. Some people just want to do it, keep themselves fit, healthy, and just appreciate the love for the game.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Talk at WVXU.org is our email. Facebook and Twitter will work for us as well. So if there's a young person who's interested in learning how to play soccer, where should they start?
I would always say look at your local community and see what organizations are around. We're in a very fortunate situation that Cincinnati United is a large organization and will be accessible to most of our listeners today. And for that, it's get your foot in the door. See if you enjoy the sport, you know. And then going from there, you're probably going to look to maybe try out for one of the more competitive teams, whether it be Cincinnati United or another club in the city. And, you know, hopefully continue to learn, continue to grow, and, you know, hopefully continue to enjoy the landscape that's unfolding here with a professional organization, and just, you know, get involved is all I can say.
And Jared, DJ, how old were you guys when you first started?
8 or so, I think. Yeah. I actually joined a recreational league for most of my life until high school. It wasn't nearly as accessible as it is now. So that's kind of where I began my journey. Yeah.
Yeah. I started play when I was 5 and then kept on through that until now. I'm recovering from an ACL reconstruction back in December. So once I get back out there, I'll be 37, but it'll still be worth kicking around.
Yeah. So is there an age that's best for someone to start or to stop in the case of tearing your ACL?
Oh, man. I think the earlier the better. Just the exposure, I think, is really what sets people down a path. If you want to really get to be at a higher level of the game, the earlier the better is probably the best way to go. But there's no bad age to get involved with soccer. I mean, we've met a lot of people that just started playing with their friends, you know, after college or just looking for some fun and recreation to keep fit. And there are a lot of different avenues to get involved with the sport.
So FC Cincinnati lost its first match at Seattle 4-1. The team is at Atlanta on Sunday. What type of expectations should we have for this team in its first MLS season?
I mean, it's easy to say they're an expansion side, and I think that's the one thing that everyone needs to keep in mind going into this season is that outside of a couple examples in Major League Soccer, expansion franchises generally do not do all that well their first couple of years. And that kind of runs the same across professional sports. There are some outliers. The team we're facing this weekend, Atlanta United, is one example of those. The reigning MLS champions in their second year, they have some of the best players in the league. So expectations should be realistic. But at the same time, there's talent within the squad that can actually make them competitive as well.
You agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the majority of the people that went out to Seattle as well kind of realized that, you know, we're coming into a completely new league with a bunch of guys that have never really played before. And it's going to take some time to gel. But it was pretty great to see for 5 minutes have that moment of glory and being 1-0 up.
Yeah, that was exciting.
So.
Okay, so the first home game is Sunday, March 17th. Is that right? At Nippert Stadium. So you have a first home match combined with a popular holiday for drinking. What's the atmosphere going to be like on that day, do we think?
I would imagine it's going to be a little rowdy that day.
Yeah, that's a pretty good assumption, yeah.
First Major League Soccer match, I would anticipate a pretty large crowd that would be approaching sellout territory. So I think it'll be rocking.
Yeah, and just what's the atmosphere in general at these games for people who go? I mean, it looks rowdy. It looks interesting. It's different than any other sport that I see that, again, the smoke, the flags, the chanting.
And I think the first few games of the year, every year, kind of like this too, right? There's an elevated level. And I think if you look back at our history, every year is something new, it seems like. So, you know, last year we got a bunch of really, really good players and, you know, really looked to be good. And this year we're going into MLS. So there's always something that's like, ooh, this little bit's new. And people just get up for that and are really excited for that. So I would expect a good atmosphere both at the game and before the game, and yeah, should be good.
It's been a while since Cincinnati has had a major sports championship, either in baseball or football, or whatever the case may be, in CAA. Is FC Cincinnati going to be the one to end that streak, do you think?
I mean, technically, they've already won one championship, if we're going to get real literal
See,
about
things. This is the FC Cincinnati fan I was talking about.
That's
Well, actually.
Yeah, no. I mean, the thing to keep in mind is there are a lot of different championships in soccer. There's the regular season championship, which FC Cincinnati won last year in USL. This year in MLS, there will be that. But there's also the cup that follows a playoff format at the end of the year. And then there's also the knockout tournaments like the Open Cup. So there are a lot of ways to win championships, and I'm sure FC Cincinnati will bring to us one day.
All right, I want to thank Jared, DJ, and Gary for joining us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.